now is just coming up to 11:30 on Phoenix 98 FM. And now I'm joined in the studio by Julian Wybrough, who I've met actually probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I think, when we were at the other building. I remembered you straight away. He's come in today to talk about the Mayflower Morrisman. Now, as you know, we've been reading out on the events guide about the event on Saturday the 30th, which is going to be at St Mary Magdalene Church. And it's an open morning between 10 and 1. But before we talk about that, what's your role in Mayflower Morrisman, and how long have you been involved?
Well, I've been dancing since 1976 with the Mayflower Morrisman, and I have two roles. One, I'm the foreman, so I teach the dances to the side, and the other role is I'm the fool in the side, which means I have to entertain the crowd, I have to know the dances very well, weave in and out and so on, and generally keep everyone entertained when they're not actually dancing.
Yeah, I was going to say, with regards to the Morris dancing, we'll talk about the history, but with the dances that you do, have you got sort of a book, or is there like a Morris dancing Bible, or can you actually make new dances up? How do you do it?
There's a traditional canon of dances, around about 350 dances that survive. Morris dancing nearly died out at the very beginning of the 1900s, and thanks to the efforts of one man, really, called Cecil Sharp, who cycled around the villages in the Cotswolds and collected dances from old dancers, he found just four teams that were still surviving, and he recorded the dances and the music. And then what little was left was destroyed by the First World War, with dancers volunteering and just, you know, being killed in Flanders and so on. And so really, Morris sides do that traditional canon of 350-odd dances. We don't make them up. Mm. And when you learn them, you have to learn them from someone else by word of mouth. They're not really written down. There is a sort of book which lists them all and says what you have to do, but it doesn't tell you how you do them. It's known as the Black Book in Morris, but it doesn't tell you how. You have to be shown. So I suppose nationally there's around about 2,500-3,000 Morris dancers in total. So when you learn something, you're learning it. You're one of a very privileged few that are being, you know, almost sort of like the arts of black magic or something, but not the connotation.
When people actually started doing the dances, was it for sort of celebrations or weddings or unions or funerals? When were Morris men kind of, the tradition of actually dancing?
Well, the traditional times of dancing are at, if you like, ritual times of year. So the turning of the new year, Easter, or, you know, Eostre, the festival of Eostre, as it used to be at one time, Midsummer's Day. So the equinoxes, the solstices, it was at certain times of year were the traditional times when the Morris dancers came out. Indeed, it's recorded that in those four villages where Morris survived from time immemorial, that the villagers never felt that the cycle of the seasons was complete unless the dancers actually came out and danced when they were supposed to. In other words, if they didn't do it, the crops wouldn't grow.
Yeah. Now, you brought the bells in today. You said in, and here we go.
Yep.
Very fantastic. Now, when did the bells actually, were they from the very beginning or something that's been added later?
No, from the very beginning. They're supposed to frighten away the evil spirits. On a more practical note, they also provide the percussion for when you're dancing.
Yeah.
So you have the traditional instruments are a pipe and tabor, so it's sort of like a whistle and a drum. Mm. But the bells help with the percussion and give you an extra beat to time your steps to. So they're quite important, actually. Apart from frightening away the evil spirits.
You get a few of those in Brentwood, depends where you stand.
I
was going to say, with the sticks, what was the idea, again, is that again to ward off evil spirits?
Well, it's supposed to represent the fight between good and evil that's going on all the time over your head, for your soul, and that's what it's supposed to represent.
Do you have to have, I mean, I'm just thinking, because I like a little bit of percussion. Do you have to be somebody, besides being able to dance, do you have to be able to keep in time? Is that one of the sort of things you look for?
Well, you have to have a sense of rhythm, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that comes when you learn the steps. The steps match the music beautifully. And when you do dance, you get a great sense of harmony. But not just between yourself and the music, but between the six of you that are dancing, what you, the shapes that you're performing are very often symmetrical, and so there's a you can understand why in those dark, distant days people felt that it was magical, and that there was magic created by the dance, because you really feel that sort of harmony when you dance.
I was going to say, you're saying about it being magic. When we had the witch trials, was Morris dancing still allowed, or was it sort of outlawed in those days?
Yeah, I mean, Cromwell banned it. I mean, there are numerous accounts of vicars, you know, throwing Morris dancers out of the church and it being banned. I mean, Cromwell's Commonwealth only lasted for 10 years, so it wasn't long enough to kill it off. But people carried on doing it in secret. Absolutely.
Oh, well, I just thought about that thought, because it's all to do with the warding off spirits. Now, you've got this open day, which is coming up on Saturday the 30th between 10 and 1 o'clock at St Mary's Magdalene Church, and it's free for people to come along to.
Yep.
You're looking for more people to join up, and they can be any age group, but is there any sort of criteria? They've got to be quite fit, or, you know...
No, you needn't be fit. I mean, a lot of people join Morris to get fit, actually.
Yeah.
It's sort of an alternative to jogging with beer. But we are actually all surprisingly fit. I mean, our youngest member, I think, is 40-something. But most of us are in our 50s or even 60s. So we are looking for some new blood for younger men and teenagers and even boys. As well as we'll also, on Saturday, we'll also train ladies as well. And we'll let them know where the nearest ladies' side is, which is in Chelmsford. I mean, it's also a very good social thing.
I was going to say that, because you must have made friends as you've been sort of doing this dancing since mid 70s. You must have some great tales, probably not for radio, but you know, just the great tales of all, you know, going out to events, because you must do fates, you must do festivals.
Yeah, we do all sorts of things. I mean, this summer, for example, we're dancing at Great Bursted Fate, Stock Flower Festival, but we do lots of charity events too. We dance every Thursday at pubs in the evening throughout the summer, and you can find our programme on www.mayflowermorris.com. We tend to dance locally. Each Morris side has its own territory, and ours really goes from sort of Gallywood across to Herongate, down to Great Bursted, and across to sort of Wickford Rayleigh way. We dance all the pubs in that area. No one else will do that. We don't dance in other people's areas.
Yep.
But in terms of what people need to dance with us, well, two left feet, I suppose, a pair of handkerchiefs, a pulse. But really, we'll do the rest. And it doesn't really matter what age you are. Or even if you're a musician, we also, on Saturday, if you're a musician and you'd like to learn pipe and tabor or Anglo concertina or accordion, or you're a violinist, then come along and we'll introduce you to the tunes.
The tabor, is that the same as like an Irish drum? Is that this sort of...
No, the Irish drum is a bodhrán.
That's it.
It's more like a sort of... it's more of a tambourine shape, a bodhrán. Mm. But a tabor, an English tabor, is more like a kettle drum in shape.
Yeah.
Not a kettle drum, a side drum in shape. So it has snares. Originally, it was much longer, but now it's sort of short and squat, and more like a traditional sort of Drake's drum.
Yeah. And you play it with a stick.
It's played with a stick.
Yeah.
And the pipe is really an interesting instrument. We're really lucky, and we have one of the best pipe and taborers in the country. He's actually a medieval instrument collector and expert. Used to play with St George's Canzona, but it's a very unusual instrument. It has just two holes, and there's one underneath, and you get all the notes of the in the range by using that with a combination of tonguing. What's called tonguing? You put your tongue in a certain place at the mouthpiece, and it enables you to get the full range of notes. He's really a brilliant musician. That takes a bit more effort to learn, but certainly if you're a violinist or an accordionist, then you'd be welcome to come along and learn some tunes.
And do you ever have sort of battles? Is it when you do you do competitions or anything with other Morris men? Is that
we meet other Morris sides. That's quite regular, and there are sort of national meets as well. But there are never any competitions, and I think the reason was because Morris almost died out in the very early 1900s and then 1918. It was sort of decided that Morris sides wouldn't compete, so the element of competition might destroy a side.
Yeah.
So the idea was, no, you meet and you enjoy it, part of the social thing, the sort of the fellowship, if you like, and you keep it going.
Yeah,
because it almost died out. That's the essence of it. So you don't do anything to try and that might be detrimental to its continuance.
And things like this are becoming very cool now, because I've got friends that play bowls, and years ago nobody would play bowls.
Yeah,
but people are playing bowls, Morris dancing, because it's for you can go and you can enjoy it, and you've got the social side.
Yeah, I mean it's a very English thing too, and at the moment there's a big emphasis on doing things that are English, and I don't think you could get more English than the Morris.
And also, when you're out in the pub, and I have been out in fact, I was in Surrey, a lovely pub. It was in the summer last year. Just sat there in the garden, and suddenly the local Morris men turned up and danced. And that's the UK.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, it's a very social thing, and we always have when we dance out, wives, partners, children come along, and we do social things throughout the year. We have a ladies' night. And we do a Christmas dance out, and it's a very good thing for the whole family, really.
So if you want to get involved and you're in the Billericay area or the surrounding areas, you can still join in. It's Saturday the 30th. It's between 10 and 1. It's at St Mary's Magdalene Church on the High Street in Billericay. And you pop along and the gentleman will be dancing, the Morris dance will be dancing, and you can join in. It's free. You can find out how you can get involved. I think you said you rehearse on a Thursday.
We do, yeah. Thursday evenings, 8 o'clock. But it's free tuition, basically. On Saturday morning, we'll let everyone have a taster and show them how to do it.
Lovely. Well, it's nice to see you again. I shall see you probably in another few years.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Depends how many people come on Saturday.
Well, our fingers crossed you'll get a good crowd for Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks very much, Julian.
Thank you.
11:42, here's Supergrass with Going Out.